WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Danya Heffley with your WSLR news headlines for Wednesday, October 22nd. After New College sought to take over adjacent educational and cultural institutions, including the Ringling Museum of Art and the FSU Asolo Conservatory, Florida State University President Richard McCullough is making a rare visit to Sarasota this Thursday. He is scheduled to host a dinner and hold a press conference at the Ringling Museum of Art. FSU's stated purpose of McCullough's visit is to highlight its 25 years of local stewardship. In other university news, the University of South Florida officially selected its next president. Moaz Lamayum is not a politician. He has previously served as a longtime dean of the USF College of Business. He is returning to Tampa after a three-year term as the president of the University of North Florida. The USF Board of Trustees approved his selection, and Lamayum's appointment now heads to the State Board of Governors for final confirmation on November 6th. His move means UNF must immediately begin a search for its own new leader. Sarasota County has achieved a conservation milestone, completing its 100th land acquisition through the voter-approved Environmentally Sensitive Lands Protection Program. The latest acquisition is the 20-acre Camp Venice RV Resort along the Myakka River. The county plans to restore it as a riverfront campground. This $14 million purchase used both sensitive lands and neighborhood parkland funding. It contributes to over 42,000 acres of critical land protected by the county over the last 25 years. Following a state audit, Florida's chief financial officer blasted Manatee County as, quote, probably the worst audited local government. Blaise Ignolia called the county's spending, quote, wasteful, and said its general fund is $112 million more than what the state deems necessary. Ignolia also cited the hiring of 472 new full-time employees over the last 5 years. In response, Manatee County officials maintained they were not given full audit. This has been Danya Heffley with your WSLR news headlines for Wednesday, October 22nd.
Good morning. Welcome to the Peace and Justice Report. My name is Bob Connors. You're listening to your own community radio station right here in Sarasota, WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton. And I want to let you know that we did meet our membership goal, our fundraising for the last week. And thank you so much for keeping us going, keeping us on the air. And we really, really appreciate it, to say the least. So it's a pleasure being in here this morning and being able to give you that news. And before we begin the show, I'd like to mention the support for WSLR comes from listeners like you and from Manatee Spirit Holistic Sound Studio, offering sound-based wellness experiences in Bradenton. More information is available at 941-201-0069 or at info@manateespirit.com. And I have a special guest in the studio today. Let me just read a little bit about him. I'm going to let him tell you give you most of the information about him. But his name is Sheldon Sands, and he's a multi-instrumentalist with an interest in music culture from around the world. He left for the Middle East in the late 90s and recorded with several musicians from all over the world, but focusing on the Middle East. And he has a lot more to say in relationship to how this all came about. So, Sheldon, let's see if you're coming through loud and clear. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here. Hello, everybody. Can you hear
me?
Yeah,
I think you're coming through loud and clear,
okay,
according
great.
To what I can see here. So, and it's interesting how I got in touch with you. I I love to do the farmer's market. You know, the Sarasota Farmer's Market gives a nonprofit a table once a month. And we're the ones who are given a table for the last 13, 14 years, the first Saturday of every month. So I love going there because I meet people from around the country, and I meet a lot of local people, especially this time of year, through the summer, which goes from, you know, May right through to mid-September. I think the snowbirds and the tourists are here more likely. They're here in beginning right in October, mid-October, right through to mid-April. So the good thing is I was there the first Saturday of the month of September, and I met your wife, and we began talking. And she had quite a bit to say about you and your history, your background, and your relationship to music and getting people together. And I said, oh, yeah, your husband sounds like he'd be a great guest for the Peace and Justice Report. And sure enough, you're in here today. I really appreciate you coming in. And you just came, you lived in Colorado most of your life, the last many years?
Yeah, probably, about 40 years.
And you just moved to Sarasota. You're going to try it for a year just about a month or so ago. When I met your wife, I think she said she had just got into town.
We just landed nearly.
The first week of September. That's why I love being at the market, because I meet people who might have just come into town. They've only been here a week, a month, or two, and they don't know about the station. And they want to talk to you at length once they find out what we have to offer here. Some people do. The people who are into peace, love, and understanding. That's the way I look at it. But so Sheldon, tell us a little bit about yourself and why I thought you'd be a great guest for the Peace and Justice Report. Way back when you first got into music, and how this all developed.
Well, thank you, Bob. And again, it's great to be here. My evolution, if I want to go chronologically, is that I came from a bit of an activist family, especially my mother and older sister. So when I was very, very young, I was going to, marches against the Vietnam War, civil rights related events, things of that nature. And, we'd also go to a lot of cultural events too. I remember we lived in southern New Jersey at the time, but we'd go to Philadelphia and there'd be conventions of international folk dancers and presentations of that nature. And all those things make an impression, on a young person. So I definitely came up with that bent. And then, I played piano. There was a lot of music in the family. And so I had lessons and took classical. And in my teenage years, we had moved to Ohio. I started playing rock and roll and blues. And, this was just for my own personal expression without much of a thought of about going professional with it. But I ended up, having some ability and growing musically and studying jazz eventually. After high school, my mother urged me to maybe go into music therapy as a profession. And so we actually sat in on some sessions, and I realized that I have certain innate tools, both musically and who I am as a person, that I could probably be very, very good at that, but it wouldn't quite do it for me, that my work in healing and in doing good work in the world is more on the public stage. It's more being a musician, being a composer, producing concerts, putting output. And that's always been a sensibility that I've had. I went on to study a lot of ethnic and world music, which I just ended up just loving. And at some point, maybe in my late 30s, we traveled to Israel. My father was born in Istanbul, but as a young child, the family moved to pre-statehood Israel, to Tel Aviv, Ramat Gan area. And he grew up there, and all my relatives there on my dad's side remained there. And so we went in 1995, and I started getting introduced to a lot of the music that people don't know about, because it's such an intersection there of Jews and Arabs, of ancient and modern, of East and West. Really incredible. So I got really inspired by a lot of the musical sounds that I was hearing, and I did repeat visits and eventually had an artistic residency in Arad, which is a small city on the Dead Sea in the south. So I was living there for 7 months and absorbing the sights and smells and fragrances and everything, the influences, listening to, you know, Radio Syria late at night, you know, things of that nature. And I ended up getting into a recording studio. I was going to concerts usually in Tel Aviv, and I'd get over my shyness and introduce myself to incredible musicians. I mean, unbelievably great musicians, and say, "Hey, I'm, you know, my name's Sheldon, and I'm going to be doing some recording. Would you be interested in joining me?" And incredible, people were just so warm and saying yes to me.
Yes.
I was just getting a lot of affirmation, and eventually recorded. Went into a studio in Tel Aviv, and came out with a recording called Dead Sea Strolls, which, as we were talking about that, you were mixing up the
right.
Dead Sea Strolls and Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's an obvious play on words,
right.
But it actually tells a bit of the story. I've done most of, in my life, I'd up till then mostly composed at the piano, and, you know, we're all habituated, you know, just being human, you know, we work on muscle memory, we drive, you know, without hardly thinking about it, and all these tasks. And I found, you know, at the piano, there's ways that my fingers move, you know,
right.
that are convenient, habitual, maybe. And I wanted to get away from that. I actually wanted to just be singing, and I wanted to be out on the land. So I really made a point of that and of singing and finding melodies, finding rhythms, and then later writing them down. You know, and later through composing. So I really, you know, Dead Sea Strolls was a play on words, and it actually tells a bit of the story around this.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll play a few songs. I know you brought the CD in, and I have it right in front of me. And why don't we why don't we pick out one song? I know you said there were at least three of them that you had stories behind them. Maybe we'll talk about how about Desert Equinox. You want to talk a little bit about that, then we'll play some of it, and then maybe you can talk a little bit more about it.
Sure. Well, I literally wrote this on the spring equinox, and we tried recording it in a session with the other musicians, and it just wasn't quite clicking. But at that time, I had met a musician named Yair Dalal. I'd gone to one of his concerts, actually with my cousin a year previously, and I was there was something about him and his playing. He's of Iraqi Jewish descent, and so he would consider himself to be an Arab Jew, which seems like an oxymoron, but people don't realize that there's a lot of people, especially of Iraq, of some of the other areas, who culturally are very much, they speak Arabic, that they're of that culture, and the music, and you know, cuisine, everything like that, but they're Jewish, you know, and right. They've been Jewish. It's not like they just converted. I mean, we're talking about going back thousands of years.
Right.
And he's quite the representative of the Jews of Iraq, you know, musically. He plays the oud. Your listeners don't know, the oud is probably the grandfather of the European lute, which is the grandfather of our guitar.
All right.
But the oud is fretless, like a violin or a cello. And so it's capable of playing quarter tones, you know, the cracks between the notes that you cannot play on a piano, between E and E flat, for example.
Right.
And a lot of the Middle Eastern scales, or they're known as makom, employ those kind of sounds. And he's a master of the oud as well as the violin. And so I got to know him. I went to a few of his concerts, and I introduced myself and got an invitation over his house, and I brought him a CD, he and his wife, a CD that I had recorded previously, and he liked it a lot. And so I said, well, maybe would you be interested in coming into the studio with me? And then I thought about this one piece that we had tried to record in the studio that just didn't work out, and I kind of handed it to him. I had it written down, and I gave him a demo that I had done, and he said, sure, I'll do that. And so I was already back in the States by then, back in Colorado, and he went into the studio and recorded it for me.
Wow.
And you'll hear first just the solo oud playing the composed melody, and then it's joined, overdubbed in the studio by the violin. And it uses a scale called Hijaz, which is a popular Arabic scale. So it has that opening quarter tone that sounds very exotic and oriental, you know, to the Western ear.
Okay, let's play it right now. Desert Equinox. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I wanted to mainly talk about Yair Dalal. He's been passionately working towards peace and reconciliation, especially given his background between Israelis and Palestinians and Jews and Arabs in general. And music is a tool for that. There was a gala concert celebrating back in 1994, I think, the signing of the Oslo Accords. There was a huge gala concert that, Shimon Peres, Arafat, all these characters were at, and they brought in a big choir, an orchestra conducted by Maestro Zubin Mehta, Palestinian Israeli children's choirs, and did this incredible song for peace that really brought his name to the forefront in that region of the world. And as we all know, those accords didn't pan out. And we live in very, very dire times, you know, where it's very heavy on our hearts what's been going on in Gaza, and there's some ray of hope right now.
It really must be for you, considering how much time you've spent over there.
And I'll say one thing. It's like at the time, you call it naivete, there was a sort of a feeling in the air, and certainly I embraced it. It's like, okay, if we could all get together in one room and just sing, you know, we could work out all, you know, that would sort of solve some of these divisions and problems. And I believe in the spirit of that, but it's not good enough. You know, there's such hard realities and polarized, dug in, you know, historic and cultural differences and everything like that, political. There's a lot of problems in that way, but I still feel that the role of music, the role of food, the role of just culture, of people getting together to get past their differences, I think can give the inspiration and the impetus. Okay, we got to work these things out. And yes, we need to do the hard work and do the negotiation and everything like that. But it's coming from a spirit of our common humanity. So music and other things still very much play the role, but it won't do it by itself. Right. I've lost a little bit of that naivete, if you will.
Yes, unfortunately. But I think I had mentioned to you, too, my last show, I had a pastor on from a black church, and there's so much music in the black church. And, you know, I asked him about the significance of what the music plays in the church and bringing people together. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's one of the things that I got into way back when, you know, hearing music that I like and just dancing uninhibitedly, you know, way back when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. Now I'm 78. I still do the same thing, you know.
Right on.
And people look at me. And then, you know, they're surprised. I said, yeah, and I'm 78 years old, too. He said, oh, wow. Well, so I figure once I lose that, I'm in trouble, you know, and I'm gonna keep if you feel the music, then people say, well, how many drinks have you had tonight? I said, I haven't had any drinks. Why? I don't need drinks to feel the music, you know. So it's interesting. So I know you've lived in Colorado for most of the last 30 years or so, and I think you did. Could you talk about? Is it the Heffman Institute? I know you've done workshops in Colorado, and you've done a lot of work in general. Could you talk about some of what you've been involved?
Sure. Well, out of my experience, you know, being in the Middle East, I started to know, you know, a lot of different musicians, and somehow my name got around a little bit. And in 1999, I was contacted by the manager of Omar Farouk Tekbilek, who's one of the star musicians of the Middle East. He's of Turkish-Egyptian descent, plays every instrument, you know, amazingly, and a composer, well-loved in the belly dance community.
Yeah.
I recommend Omar Farouk Tekbilek, just for your listeners, to check out his music. They were... At the beginning of the new millennia, the Dalai Lama actually declared he wanted to have a series of concerts to bring in the new era of peace. And they labeled these concerts the Poetry of Peace.
Wow.
And I was contacted, Sheldon, would you like to do this in Boulder area? And I said, well, hell yeah. For sure, you know. I mean, tell me what I need to do.
Right.
You know, I had produced a little coffee house one time. And, you know, you do all the things for a big concert at a huge hall as you do for a coffee house. You arrange the date. And if you need sound reinforcement, you promote it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, just at a very different scale.
Right.
So before long, I was booking the Boulder Theater, one of the premier venues in the Boulder area, and bringing in Omar Farouk Tekbulak, and I had an opening act who were based in the Seattle area called Dafka, an Israeli group. We just had an incredible, incredible concert. And before I knew it, I was off producing concerts. I created a thing called Shel Hevet Productions. And I brought in this Yair Dalal, you know, with his orchestra, who we played previously. Nabil Azam, a great Arab-Palestinian musician, came and did a peace concert along with a Israeli pianist. And I just started to do this kind of thing, and it built a lot of energy. And I found it also, it was a lot of work, you know, and I wouldn't hardly make any money by the time it all happened. So I started turning towards doing smaller scale productions, you know, just, renting a room at a local church or wherever, you know, that could be, or using a coffee house. And I've done concerts for, my God, since around the year 2000. And, if anybody wants to go to my website, you can see a lot of the track record of things that I've done. But I'm interested in music, especially not only the Middle East, but the Balkan states, Eastern Europe, really everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's been really fun for me. I get the same – I'm active as a musician, and I played in all sorts of bands. And I do play, you know, blues and jazz and things of popular music as well, accompany a lot of singers.
Right.
There's a parallel satisfaction that you get that I get, even if I'm not being the person on the stage playing the music, that I'm putting it together and matching the music and the whole vibe with the community.
Oh, yes.
And it's a different level. It's a different action, but it's a very similar kind of satisfaction and joy that I get doing that. So I will continue in all the myriad ways that can happen.
Oh, yes, yes. No, I can imagine, you know, putting a show on that's so unusual and so powerful, and the music is wonderful, the satisfaction you would derive from that, I can fully understand. You know, just like you know, I go to festivals and I hear bands that I like, and I'm just feels, it makes me feel so good, but I didn't have anything to do with the production of that, mm-hmm. or anything to do with the music whatsoever. But you know, it's to see how musicians and this and the camaraderie of musicians. Can you talk about that? The musicians that you've worked with and how they get along so well, and they bounce ideas off of each other.
I think this is universal. Yes, I mean, anybody who's listening today who's a musician or amateur or professional knows that you get together and there's just, I mean, it's fun, but then there's a bond, especially when you do it over time.
Right.
You know, I have people, you know, back in Colorado that I've played with for, you know, decades now. And you could just hear, I could hear where he's going with that cello. I could hear where he's going with that oud or whatever the instrument is.
Yeah.
And we read each other and we play off of each other. Cause I don't tend to play music that's all set in stone.
Right.
You know, it's just like jazz, you know, where there's structures and then improv. Right. Same with a lot of world music and such. And so, you get very, very close in that way. And it really is it's a communal experience that's, you know, I think that people who do dance together, you know, there's a lot of ways that this happens. Even when people attending a rock concert, going to see the Grateful Dead or Fish or whatever, and it's like you have like, you know, there's thousands of people and there's like a oneness that happens.
Right.
Just because everybody's, you know, kind of in that same wave together.
Yeah. That's what always impresses me when I go to festivals. Everyone, there's so many people there, and sometimes it's shoulder to shoulder going from one stage to the other. But everyone is in such good humor, and everyone is enjoying themselves so much that it's just like everyone's moving together, you know, slowly. Yeah. And this, you know, it's rare when I see any negativity, anybody bumping somebody or anybody. But as you said, everyone is on the same page. Everyone is there to enjoy the music. Everyone's there to have a good time. And the music just, it brings people together.
Then hopefully that translates into our actions in the world. You know, that it's not just you went and got high and had a good time at the concert and vibed with everybody. Hopefully something, you know, the ripples of that go into the world in myriad ways as well.
Well, I'd like to play another song or two that you had mentioned that you like to have me play when you and you like to talk about a little bit before we play it. But before we do that, I'd like to mention that you're listening to your own community radio station right here in Sarasota, WSLR 96.5 LPFM, and in Bradenton, WBPV 100.1 LPFM. And this is the Peace and Justice Report, and I have a guest right here in the studio, Sheldon Sands, a multi-instrumentalist and a composer, and I'm sure you're enjoying listening to him this morning. So, Sheldon, I have the CD. Tell us about the second song that we're going to play a little bit of.
We should do the Shuv Habayata, Returning Home. Do you have that one?
Let's see. Points of View? Let me see. I'm just going to...
Number two there.
Oh, okay. I got it.
That's okay.
All right. You want to say a little bit about this before we
Just a little bit. Sometimes the music should just speak for itself. But I just want to name the musicians. We had this incredible woodwind player. Played clarinet and wood flutes. Ney, for instance, which is a Middle Eastern flute, named Ayal Sela. And what a master. I met him through Yair Dalal, and just a masterful musician. That it was a real honor to play with him. And the percussionist is an Israeli musician who I've stayed really close friends with, named Yinan Moalem, who lived in Turkey subsequently for years. I visited him in Istanbul about 15 years ago, and he's living now with his wife and family in Stockholm, I believe. And those guys had so much input into the whole process. And we also have a great oud player, Arab guy from the northern Israel, Galilee area, named Wasim Bashira, playing on this track. And then my dear friend who lives back in Boulder, named Jesse Mano, who plays the saz, or baglama, Turkish string instruments on this. So it's the Shuv Habayata is like returning home.
Okay.
And that's just a universal sentiment, something about returning home to your roots, to your physical home, to your inner home.
Okay, let's play. Something different from the Peace and Justice Report today, Sheldon. Some beautiful, beautiful music. It's impressive. I guess.
Thank you.
It's great. It's great. And anything else you want to mention about that particular cut?
It's been used a lot. Over the years, I got approached by somebody who has a film and they want to use it. And we've made arrangements on a few occasions. And I worked on a musical with a Israeli director who lives in the Boulder area named Ami Dayan. He took an old piece of literature by Lessing, I forget his first name. He's like sort of like the Shakespeare of Germany,
right?
Called Nathan the Wise. And it's an old tale set in medieval times in Jerusalem. And it's a bit of a comedy, but it's a deep philosophical statement because it, basically, it's Jews and Christians and Muslims having at it and coming together
right.
in a beautiful tale of harmony, actually, ultimately. And he wanted to use the piece that we just listened to as sort of like a theme that would weave through the musical.
Right.
And so I gave permission. And then later on, it was getting produced at Kent State University, and they wanted to do a full production with a lot of musical numbers and songs. And so I got brought on to write the musical. Not the text, but to come up with the compositions.
Right.
And so it got produced about 2014 or 15 at Kent State, and they flew me out as the composer to take a bow and just to watch it.
Yeah.
And so that piece got used for that, which is a real pleasure.
It's a beautiful piece. I can understand why it's had that reaction of the people that it did, that they would want to use it. That's congratulations on that. I had just mentioned when the music was playing, you've come to Sarasota now, and I said, do you have enough to do here, being away from Colorado? But you were saying, yeah, you have plenty to do. Can you share a few of the things that you're involved with that are going to keep you busy and occupied? I hope you're going to have plenty of relaxation time while you're here in Sarasota as well.
Love the beaches.
And there's so many people who, there's a connection between Colorado and Sarasota and Southwest Florida, just like between here and North Carolina up in the Asheville area. There's so much incredible music, incredible landscape, same as in Colorado, just beautiful. I've said to my wife, I love the warm weather, but if I had to live in a cold weather climate, I think it'd be
Colorado. I don't know about landscape. A friend told us about celery fields.
Oh, yes.
And so we went there the other day to take a walk, you know, getting some morning exercise. And I think, I came here from the mountains of Colorado. We were living up in the mountains with a view of the Continental Divide. It's like, I think this is celery fields. It's like a little lump. I think this is the biggest mountain around here.
Right.
So it's a pretty different landscape.
Oh, yes, to say the least, I didn't think I was going to like Florida as much as I have when I moved here 25 years ago. I mean, it's the variety in wildlife and plant life and, of course, the weather and, you know, so many different things that I wasn't aware of when I moved here. That it's been a joy for me, certainly. I love the beach, and I was fortunate enough to live a couple of blocks on the beach for 22 years, and that...
Oh, sweet.
That was wonderful.
So about a prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, I wrote this inspired by a sign at one of the gates. The old city of Jerusalem has a number of gates that are, you know, been around for, you know, eons. I think it might have been the Jaffa Gate or the Damascus Gate. There's no such thing as a Jaffa Gate. There's a Damascus Gate. And there was a sign, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it just struck me so much because Jerusalem is, you know, regarded as such a holy city, certainly to Muslims, Jews, and Christians alike. And, you know, the holy, you know, place is there. It's auspicious. For such a holy city, it's also like one of the most divided places on earth, ironically. You know, and so the feeling of pray for the peace of Jerusalem, if there could be peace in Jerusalem, there could be peace anywhere in the world. You know, if we could do it there, we could do it anywhere. And so I wrote this piece. It's musically, it's inspired by the Nigun or Nigunim would be the plural. In Hebrew, these are songs without words. La 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 la, etc. Easy to teach people to sing because the lyrics are easy.
Yeah, right.
Lie, 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 lie,
keep thinking of Paul Simon when you say.
Well, he's a New York Jewish guy. Right. I'm sure he was listening to Nigun.
Right.
And so it's a Nigun, although it's in 5/4 time, which you don't usually get, you know. I wrote it and I just had that prayer in mind. And so when I came to recording, I thought, let me make this ever so more real. I had a really good little portable microphone and digital recorder, and I walked around the old city, and I recorded the sounds of the Al-Aqsa prayer mosque when they do the call to prayer. Was it like 5 times a day? And so you'll hear the strains of the caller. There's a proper name for the person who does that prayer.
Yeah.
You'll hear that. You'll hear the sounds of the Jewish men praying at the Western or Wailing Wall. There's the public areas that you see photographs, but there's these caves to the left and that have this, you know, the wonderful reverb of being in a cavern, and they're at prayer, you know, and droning on like that.
Right.
And as well as the sound from the ringing of the bells from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre.
Yes.
You know, where traditionally is the place where Christ did his thing, right?
Right.
You know, was resurrected.
Yeah. Taking in all those sounds.
Yeah. So those sounds weave through the piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let me play that one. And the title again is?
Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem. Thank you.
שלום רב על ישראל ועל כל יושבי תבל תשים לעולם כי אתה הוא מלך אדון לכל השלום
Another beautiful piece, Sheldon. I've really enjoyed this CD. Thank you for the CD.
Oh, you're
and,
welcome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And so now you're in Sarasota for a little while anyway. And do you have any future projects that you're working on that's going to keep you busy in the next year or so while you're here?
Well, just the aforementioned little composing project, you know, that musical with that family and with the moon cycle compositions. But you never know
what
may show.
Right, right. You're open to meeting musicians here and maybe getting involved in jams around the area?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I was just invited to a neat jam session next month.
Oh, great. Great. I know of one I can tell you about. We'll see if it might be of interest to you. We have about 5 minutes left, Sheldon, and when you look back on your career and on your life, how do you feel that the focus of your life has been around music and working with musicians and getting to travel around the world and meeting different people and going to different places? Can you talk about that for a couple of minutes and how impactful it has been?
I think I've been really fortunate. You know, I struggled for a while. Everybody has their unique path and calling, you know, and some would be seen as being more conventional than others. And I just never felt myself fitting in, you know, and it was like, what am I going to do with myself? You know, I mean, for years I painted houses just because it was something I could make a living doing and get by. And then I started teaching, giving piano lessons and just kind of meager things. But I think I feel fortunate that my, a sense of calling that was so congruent with gifts that I've had with my heart path. Because a lot of folks don't really get to, you know, they're stuck in jobs. They're stuck in, you know, things that are not really satisfying to them or being what they potentially could be. You know, and I say that with no judgment, only compassion. But for myself, I feel very blessed in that way. In Judaism, there's a expression, tikkun olam. It's basically to repair the world.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that could be through our social action. It's to repair it spiritually, but then repair it practically too. And, you know, there's people doing that through environmental work, through social justice work, through peace and justice. You know, like your show here is incredible. So I've found a way to be able to merge my sense of social action and responsibility with my love of music. And so I'm very blessed with that. And I plan on continuing to do it for a long time.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe I'll do some things here at Fogartyville and with your station.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, I've been fortunate enough to, for the last year to have a world music show every other week, you know, and, I'd be happy to have you come in and play some of the music from around the world that you would love to have the listeners hear.
That'd be cool.
Oh yeah, no,
very cool.
No, that would be great. That would be great. And what I have discovered in preparing for the World Music Show is so many of the musicians are activists. You know, whatever country they're from, Morocco or Liberia or different parts of Africa, you read their bio, and virtually all of them have a sincere desire to change the world through their music.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all get involved in different projects and from where they live. And I said, it is amazing. There's a connection between music and community and understanding and peace. And that's what I have learned just in doing this show every couple of weeks. So it's a wonderful thing. So I'd love to have you share some of your music on one of these upcoming Tuesdays where I'm doing the World Music Show. The title of the show is World Rotations. So give us your website and how people can find you. And
well, I need to update it.
Right.
It's about 2 years since I've in my production. There's an area of the website that talks about the productions I do. And it's like, oh, I've done a whole bunch since the last time I updated it. So, okay, I'll do that today or tomorrow.
Right.
It's simply SheldonSands.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And as I said, I know you've done so much work over the years in Colorado and workshops. Have you done any like music workshops or events that stand out in your mind that you said, boy, that was great. I wouldn't mind doing one of those again or, you know, meeting people through some of your projects?
Well, yeah, I used to do a lot of programs bringing adults together who wouldn't consider themselves to be musicians. But, you know, amateur musicians.
Right.
But have, you know, would have a dream of like playing together in a band.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, but need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of hand-holding, if you will.
Yeah.
So I've called it like the joy of playing music, the art of playing music with others.
Right.
And that's like one example of things that I've done that are just kind of fun,
you know,
because that's like a dream of a lot of people.
Yes.
And sometimes they just need a little bit of a helping hand.
Right.
So that's one. My wife Kathleen and I were for a while doing programs throughout Metro Denver, going into the schools. There was a program called Musical Globetrotters this was usually elementary schools, where we did songs from all over the world with a little bit of storytelling, and we'd get into outfits.
Right.
It was really kind of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we saw, okay, reaching out to children and exposing them to, you know, in a way that they can really relate to, interactive as possible, to music and culture from around the world as being a wonderful thing. And then there was another program that we did called Living in Tune, which is more songs about, you know, finding harmony. There's a great song called Don't Laugh at Me.
Right.
I had a chance to meet the composer, Steve Sorotkin, something like that, who is basically addresses the whole issue of bullying.
Oh, wow.
You know, we did a whole bunch of songs of that nature.
Right.
As performances, and would get kids, you know, moving or, you know, doing their shakers or,
yeah,
you know, just engaged.
Well, I'm glad I asked you that question. Now we only have a minute left, so I'm gonna close. We've been speaking to Sheldon Sands, and the title of the CD again, in case people want to look it up.
Dead Sea Strolls.
Strolls, not scrolls, strolls.
But whenever they sell the Dead Sea Scrolls with the touring exhibits,
yes,
sometimes I've gotten my CD Dead Sea Strolls into the gift shop.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you once again for keeping WSLR, WBPV alive for another 6 months. You couldn't have been more generous. We really could not be here without you. So thank you once again, and stay tuned for Democracy Now. Be coming up in just 15 or 20 seconds. And thanks for listening to the Peace and Justice Report. And I'll be back here in 2 weeks. Tom Walker will be here next week with his version of the Peace and Justice Report. We'll be here next week with his version of the Peace and Justice Report.